Bad news on the Trans Day of Visibility. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court saw those photos of Brian Noam and ruled that conversion therapy is good. Supreme Court rules against Colorado ban on conversion therapy for LGBTQ plus kids. Crazily enough, this was an 8-1 ruling. Only Ketanji Brown Jackson ruled against it. The high court majority sided with a Christian counselor who argued the law banning talk therapy violates the First Amendment. The justices agreed the law raises free speech concerns and sent it back to a lower court to decide if it meets a legal standard that few laws pass. What the fuck, man? 8-1? It is possible that they're right on this one. I don't know enough about constitutional. You may be surprised to hear this. I do not, in fact, have a master's in constitutional law. But I think that when it comes to banning conversion therapy, you don't want to do it legislatively in the way that they did. You want to do it through medical practice, you know? It's because it specifically banned talk therapy, not conversion therapy. That might do it. Yeah, talk therapy specifically. A state could similarly not ban talk therapy designed to affirm a minor's sexual orientation or gender identity, Kagan wrote. Once again, because the state has suppressed one side of a debate while any of the other constitutional issues straightforward. Yeah. What's talk therapy? The talk therapy is a kind of conversion therapy where you basically send your kid, you realize your kid's gay or whatever, and you send them over to get therapy, and the therapy is just talking to a counselor, and in the case of conversion therapy, the point of it is they talk you out of being gay or whatever. The problem is that the law banned talk therapy, but it's obvious it was only really directed to ban conversion therapy, but that's kind of like a partial caveat, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like the legal juxtaposition, the framing for the law was bad. If you're going to ban conversion therapy, you should ban it very specifically, or you should have it regulated through medical practice rather than legislatively. I think. Who's the authority on what constitutes medical malpractice? I mean, every state has their medical board, right? In a solo dissent, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote that states should be free to regulate healthcare, even if that means incidental restrictions on speech. The decision, Jackson wrote, opens a dangerous can of worms that threatens to impair states' ability to regulate the provision of medical care in any respect. Is there any evidence that talk conversion therapy has any effect? No, conversion therapy doesn't work and never has. And people know that, too. Conversion therapy is just a place that, it's just something that religious parents torture their kids with, and they know it's torture as well. They know that it doesn't work. It's like a punishment. Like, oh, you're going to be gay? All right, well, fine, here you go. People have converted though, right? Honestly, no, not really. Sometimes people make careers out of converting, like Milo Yiannopoulos, who we all know is slinging it back on his weekends. But no, like, no, not really. Like, there's some evidence that people will suppress it, but not there's not any real scientific evidence that conversion therapy works. It does increase suicide rates, though. Yeah, well, conversion therapy doesn't work for the same reason you can't torture someone out of liking the 49ers. Yeah, I've said before, like, to an extent, sexual identity and so on are malleable and can change over your lifetime. People took that to assume that I supported or that I thought conversion therapy worked, which is insane. It's all social constructs, man. You don't know how people are going to turn out. But just because people can change over the course of their life and you don't know how people are going to turn out and it's all kind of arbitrary does not mean you can change how a person is once they are the way they are, you know? That's not how that works. Got to sign Brian Noam up in Colorado? Yeah, maybe. Bans in other states that have not been struck down are pretty specific in describing physically abusive and harmful conversion therapy. Well, the reason they didn't do that here is because the thing here in Colorado, they're targeting a lighter form of conversion therapy. Like, my understanding, unless I'm misremembering, is that in Colorado, the more explicit form of conversion therapy is already banned, where, like, you can't send a person to a camp and, like, have them paddled or whatever for being gay. The specific practices have already been banned. It's that in this case, the thing that they were going after was, because I remember we talked about this this law before. This isn't the first time it's come up on stream. Is like, the weakest form of conversion therapy. Literally, like, a therapist tries to convince you that you're not gay or trans. So this isn't that bad? It is not as bad as the title to this AP article suggests. That is true. Is it still bad? It is. It is, yeah. I do think the law was poorly framed to begin with. You know, it's a lot like Roe v. Wade, where there's a good underlying sentiment, but basing Roe v. Wade off of the privacy clause is kind of like, it was like a weird way to take that in the first place. You know what I mean? That being said, the consequences of revoking this Colorado law will be nowhere near as significant as the consequences of revoking Roe v. Wade.
Breaking news, the Supreme Court has struck down Colorado's ban on conversion therapy. That therapy includes efforts to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity during talk therapy. Major American medical groups consider it ineffective and harmful, and 27 states outlaw that practice. But a Christian licensed therapist alleged the Colorado law violates her free speech rights and prevents her from openly talking with clients about their desire to rid themselves of same-sex attractions or better align with their biological sex. Now the High Court...
I just don't want people to be too doomer about this one. Like, obviously, it's a bad outcome, consequentially, but it's also not a pivotal case. And Colorado's legislature could very easily reconstruct a law that has the same or even a better outcome that is not as legally challengeable. Does that make sense?
Has ruled in her favor. Let's bring in ABC News legal contributor Kim Whaley and Devin Dwyer to break down the ruling for us. Hi to you both. So, Devin, the key question in this case was if laws banning conversion therapy for minors violate the free speech of these mental health providers.
Kind
so
of.
What do you make of how the judges came down on this?
And it was an 8-1 decision, Diane.
Yeah, like, if you want a really, really bad anti-trans ruling, just stick around, because after we finish this one up, we're going to talk about what happened in Idaho.
And so strong, almost unanimous ruling by this very conservative Supreme Court, drawing support from Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, that in fact Colorado's law, which was enacted several years ago to protect minors from the forcible efforts of therapists to try to change their sexual orientation and gender identity, does infringe on the free speech rights of those providers. Now, Colorado had argued that talk therapy is a medical treatment, and the state should be able to regulate that treatment like any other medical treatment. But Justice Neil Gorsuch, writing for the court's majority here, said that
as a general rule, I do think that the government shouldn't really be regulating medical practice. I think that medical experts should be, because that's kind of the issue we're having right now with trans people in general, right? Like, politicians trying to regulate whether or not trans youth can access medical care or whatever else, as opposed to doctors being able to write those rules. Overwhelmingly, I think it's bad when politicians are making those calls, though sometimes you have to step in. But yeah, I think that if they go after this on like a medical practice basis, like specific practices, they should be fine. The governance should suck my dick. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Out debate the therapist into converting them. That's if you're really gay, you should be able to lock the fuck in and convert your therapist. Yeah, for sure. Imagine, like, especially given the way the average religious conservative is sort of like mentally arranged, you get like a Brian Noam type, and you're like, you know, give me 48 hours with this motherfucker, okay? I'm gonna have him divorce his wife. This isn't a medical ruling, it's cultural. Well, that's kind of like saying that the existence of trans people isn't political. I'm one of those insufferable everything is political types. I think that conversion therapy is definitely a medical issue, because if conversion therapy had medically positive outcomes, I would support it, but it doesn't, and it never will, so I don't, you know? It's kind of like it reduces the subject to an absurdity, you know, but it's like, you know, if X bad thing was good, then it would be good and I'd support it, but it's not and it never will be, so I won't, you know? Conversion therapy is just bad. You know, it will never be medically justifiable. So I'd rather argue against it on medical terms. My aversion to conversion therapy isn't just me being like culturally repulsed by it, though I certainly am. It's that it just factually doesn't work, you know?
What Colorado has done, limiting the ability of counselors to talk.
Do you support bloodletting, though? I haven't read any studies on whether or not it works. I assume it does, because it seems like it should.
To their patients about their identity, changes they want to see made, quote, censures speech based on viewpoint. And he said that Colorado law doesn't just regulate the content of that speech, but in fact, in his view and the majority's view, goes a step further, prescribing what she can and cannot say. So this is a big win, not only for First Amendment advocates, but for really for Christian, the Christian groups.
Doesn't this basically invalidate the Florida Don't Say Gay bill because it censors the speech of others? Not necessarily, no. It's very complicated. Keep in mind, we're dealing with like very specific state laws that in different kinds of authority apply different limitations to different practices in different fields. They're not really, it's an apples to oranges thing. Though I do think you could challenge the Don't Say Gay bill on constitutional grounds. The current court would never allow for that. But yeah, no, it's fine. They'll reconstruct this law.
backed Ms. Childs and her Christian-based medical practice in Colorado, which had sought to open the door to a Christian-friendly treatment options for these types of kids.
Kim, there are aspects of this ruling that seem to take on the specific language in this Colorado statute. So what does this mean for the 26 other states that outlaw conversion therapy?
Well, based on from what I can tell from the court's ruling, it's pretty broad, as Devin indicates, and that is there was a conflict here between, on the one hand, you've got therapy, what happens in the privacy of a therapist's room, and that is regulated by states, right? There are restraints and conditions and licensing and material substantive criteria that go into play there. And on the other hand, we have free speech. Does the First Amendment protect what happens in that licensed medical environment? And the court said, because this—
I don't think she's describing this accurately.
This is about someone's point of view, which is extremely the highest level of protection under the First Amendment. These states cannot, or this particular state cannot interfere and regulate that.
Yeah, she's just wrong. Here, look, okay, I pulled up an NBC article right here. In deciding the case, the court embraced Child's argument that the Colorado law banning conversion therapy regulates speech, not conduct, as Colorado had argued. The specific wording of the Colorado law banning conversion therapy was targeted not at the conduct of therapists, but rather at the speech they employed, which is different. The phrasing of the law wasn't targeted in a way that banned a specific practice. It was banning like a particular framework or viewpoint within a practice. Can't they just change the law then? Well, you can't really change a law. You can amend. This has been struck down. You can make a new law. Just rewrite it? Yeah, I mean, they can. And I think they will. As such, the measure is not like other healthcare regulations that focus on conduct, the court concluded. The case decided on the Global Trans Day of Visibility, definitely done on purpose, will now return to the lower courts. Yeah, it's not, I wouldn't be too worried about this. Can we look at the actual bill or no? Do you have the education necessary to parse the legality of a specific, because I don't. I would just be reading through it. I'd be like, you know, I kind of have to go by second order analysis here. The ruling could have an impact on other forms of medical regulation, with Jackson saying the court could be ushering in an era of unprofessional and unsafe medical care where some forms of treatment are effectively free from regulation. I don't think that's true. Polly Crozier, I don't fucking know, director of family advocacy at GLAAD Law, a group representing LGBTQ people, noted the ruling does not change the fact that conversion therapists who harm patients will still face legal consequences via potential medical malpractice lawsuits. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty sure local regulatory bodies for licensed therapists often prohibit their practitioners from doing conversion therapy. Well, oftentimes these conversion therapists aren't actually licensed therapists, you know? But again, their practices can still be regulated. It's not a complete, like, legal Wild West gray zone kind of situation. Idaho passed a genuinely genocidal anti-trans bathroom bill. I think the strictest in the country by a good margin. Idaho just passed the strictest bathroom ban in the country. Oh, yeah, there you go. Which applies even to private businesses. A senator argued it doesn't harm trans people because, and I need you to read this carefully, trans people are a myth. Entering a restroom or changing room of the opposite sex. Any person who knowingly or willfully enters a restroom or changing room in a government-owned building or a place of public accommodation, as defined in Section 675902 Idaho Code, that is designated for use by the opposite biological sex, such person would be guilty of a misdemeanor and may be imprisoned in the county jail for a period not to exceed 1 year. Any person who pleads guilty to or is found guilty of violation of the section or a similar statute in another state or any similar local ordinance for a second time within 5 years of the first conviction, notwithstanding the form of judgment or withheld judgment, shall be guilty of a felony and may be imprisoned in the state prison for a period not to exceed 5 years. So they just can't use the bathroom at all? I mean, basically, yeah. Attempt to eradicate them from public life. Yeah, if you're trans in Idaho, you need to get the fuck out of there, by the way. I understand. Oh, it's expensive to move. It's more expensive to die, I think. Well, actually, no, dying is free. You should get out of there, though. It is time to skedaddle. I really don't like Idaho. Nor should you. Idaho trans bathroom bill is the strictest in the nation and likely veto-proof. Yeah, Idaho's Hitler, right? There's no way this is going to be. Yeah, that's true. Sweeping bathroom ban Friday, approving legislation that would make it a crime for trans people to use the bathroom that matches their gender identity, even inside privately owned businesses. That is absolutely insane, by the way. Like, not just public facilities, even in privately owned businesses. Like, you can't, it's like your private property, your prescriptions about how your bathroom should be used, even if you own the land, Like, how is this enforceable? I mean, it's not really. It's like having a law against black and white people making eye contact in the Jim Crow South. Like, sometimes people get lynched, sometimes they don't. Objecting people to time behind bars if they knowingly enter a bathroom, locker room, or changing area that does not correspond with their sex assigned at birth. None of the others apply as broadly to private businesses. The Idaho bill, which covers any place of public accommodation, meaning any business or facility that serves the public. The legislation includes 9 exemptions for situations like performing janitorial work, responding to emergencies, helping children, or cases when someone has dire need of a restroom. These carve-outs mean nothing. The only people who will ever get hurt by these bills are trans people, or by this bill specifically is trans people. Like, the caveats are unnecessary, you know? It's like anti-usury laws in Nazi Germany. Like, your ass is not getting executed for practicing usury if you charge your buddy interest in a loan you offered them a year ago. You know perfectly well who those laws are directed against, whether or not they engage in any usury. Is there anything about private businesses making all the restrooms genderless? I'm pretty sure that a private business could make their restrooms genderless, and then it would be fine for anyone to use them, yeah. Like, single-stall genderless bathrooms. But I can't imagine that many private places in Idaho have gender-neutral bathrooms, you know? Opponents say the bill criminalizes trans people for existing. What an interesting viewpoint. The private provision would not survive the Supreme Court because private property has the right to discriminate positively and negatively, except if it's a protective class and the private entity is engaged in commerce. I don't think this is going to make it up to the Supreme Court. The bill might be veto-proof. The bill passed 28-7 with just one Republican voting no. I know it's probably not a popular thing for me to vote no on, but I just can't support this kind of legislation, said Senator Jim Guthrie. He said a trans man with facial hair and other masculine features would be in a no-win situation. Mr. Guthrie, I'm afraid you might have joined the wrong political party, okay? It's the Republican Party is based on vibes and hatred. What the fuck are you doing thinking, now that I think about it, this policy might be bad? Yeah, that's the point. The point is for it to be bad. What do you... Do you apply this degree of consideration to everything that you pass through the legislature? If they go in the bathroom because of their biological sex, or sorry, if they go in the bathroom of their biological sex, they're going to upset a lot of people and freak people out. If they go in the bathroom that is consistent with their looks, they are knowingly and willingly using the bathroom that is breaking the law, Guthrie said. He later continued, they're human beings just like us. What are they supposed to do? Dog did not get the memo. Is he like 100 years old? I have to look. Hold on. Did he just not get the memo? No, he's just like, since 2012, he's represented District 28. All right. Just a guy. Looks like a guy to me. The only thing on his Wikipedia page that's, like, specific is about him not voting yes on this bill. He also looks a little bit like, what's his name? The guy with the funny face. You know who I'm talking about. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Come on. Boris Johnson? No, the actor. Steve Buscemi. Thank you. He's got a bit of a Buscemi face. No, you know who he looks like even more? Who's that older guy? The older guy, fuck, god damn it. Very, very, like, stark, austere face. Very, like, sharp features. Old Liam Neeson. He does look a little bit like Liam Neeson. He does look a little bit like Liam Neeson, but I don't think that's who I'm thinking of. Well, whatever. Standard issue white man. Can we not be racist? Also, reminder of what happens when, trans people try to use the correct bathrooms. Trans man was told to use the woman's bathroom, was then assaulted by 3 redneck hicks who didn't know the difference between a trans man and trans woman. Yeah, yeah. Anti-trans bathroom bills are and always have been an attempt to remove them from public life. The fact that this applies to private businesses as well makes it very clear. If you go in the correct bathroom, you're assaulted for being, you know, for looking queer or whatever. And if you go in the actually correct bathroom, you're arrested. Mads Mikkelsen? Yes! I was thinking Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah, I see it. I see the vision. Anyway, I can't use any restroom then? Well, that's the point. I mean, that's the idea. Yeah. I don't think this shit... Trans people are a bad minority to target if you're trying to do this big, like, fascist resurgent hate wave business. It just doesn't work that well. They're not visible or evident enough, and there's not enough of, like, an ingrained hatred against them. You know, like Jews in Nazi Germany, Jews had been subject to persecution for literally over 1,000 years in the region, right? Very deeply ingrained. Black people in the Jim Crow South, centuries and centuries and centuries of discrimination, very, very deeply ingrained. The average person still barely knows what a trans person is. There's just not a lot of, it doesn't work that well. It's a desperate attempt at pantomiming the hatred of previous generations. I just don't think people can muster it these days for the most part. but America doesn't have any ingrained hatred minorities anymore. For the most part, to the extent that we're describing, I think you're correct. The closest thing we have is the fear of, like, Latin immigrants, you know, Mexicans or illegals or whatever else. And even that, I mean, the popularity of ICE has plummeted in the past year and a half. It is true. There's just not a group in America towards which we have a genocidal hatred, you know? Maybe in the past, sure, but not now. Not really. Maybe in some parts, but not all of them. Islamophobia? No. No, it's just, like, okay, wait. I want to be clear, because people are liable to take what I'm saying and interpret it incorrectly. I'm not saying there's no Islamophobia, but no, there is not a widespread, like, genocidal level of interpersonal hatred. Because you have to understand that, like, in Nazi Germany, or with black people in the Jim Crow South, the hatred wasn't just this incidental back of your mind, oh, those people don't like us. It's like a day-to-day thing. You need to maintain, like, a very years and decades and centuries of this, like, ingrained hatred of your neighbor or of the people the next town over, whatever. Like, this overwhelming animus that has to be so severe that it's, like, common for them to be lynched or attacked or whatever. It's just, it's much more, like, you would need hatred that's more comparable to, like, Armenia and Azerbaijan, for example. Like, those are two countries that are really at each other's throats. Fucking the way Israel feels about all their neighbors, I guess, yeah. Balkan-level hatred, yeah. But we just, for the most part, we don't have that, so it's really difficult to invoke that kind of hatred as a legitimizing mechanism for policy. India, Pakistan, yeah. Happy Trans Day of Visibility. You know, not great news.